including the Idaho Power, be subsidized below Milner when the rest of the Snake River is not? I have one other item that I want to comment on, and I don't think that's in this proposed revision, but then I think it's something that should be considered, and I think if we don't get a chance to go over to the legislature to give testimony, why, maybe you can carry it over there. And that is the fact that in the adjudication process, they say that the fee has to be paid the first year, and you pay interest on it after that for 5 years if you want to delay your payment. It appears to me that if it's going to require 10 years to adjudicate and complete the adjudication process, that anybody who is making a claim and has a right to delay the payment of their claim, that is, for the adjudication process, that it should not be necessary to have to pay interest. I think that that's in the budget that's set up by the Department of Water Resources for the adjudication process. Now, I haven't seen this, but I was told today that there is no place in that for the addition of the money which would be accrued in interest to go into that fund. And personally, I think that those laws, the rules ought to be changed so that if they make their payments substantially, as they should, that interest is not necessary. I think those are most of my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. We'll see if we have some questions from the board. Mr. Williams?
No.
Mr. Rydell?
No.
Mr. Lee, I wonder if you might, you had indicated where hydropower under 32D seems to have been placed above and beyond maybe the other uses in the proposed language of the revision of 32. Might you give us something in writing between now and February 22nd?
Yes, we could. Now, I don't know whether I interpret that right or not, but as I understand the present law, it include certain categories, but it does not include hydropower as a beneficial use in the public interest. And just the way this thing is written, if it includes anything other than the minimum flows which are set up, then it's my, yeah, I get the idea that it pertains to any right which the Idaho Power could obtain. Now, if that's true, then I think that it's carrying that opportunity quite a bit far, because as I understand it, any rights from now on and are going to be subordinated to these other consumptive use privileges. Is that right?
As soon as we get our public testimony over, we'll try to have a question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The board would call Jerry Jane, please.
My name's Jerry Jane. I live at 1568 Lola Street in Idaho Falls. My phone is 523-6692. And I want to thank you members of the board and the department for the time and effort of holding these hearings. I went to one of your October meetings last year and was a little frustrated in not being able to sound off there, because I thought I went under the impression it was a hearing and it was just an information session, but so I get my chance tonight, so it's all right. I'm quite unhappy with the Swan Falls agreement. I think Idaho Power gave up too much, and I think the whole agreement is biased too much to favor future new irrigation development at the expense of other public resources and values. There are parts of it I support, which I think we need to do. For example, the adjudication, which is going to be expensive and time-consuming, but I think it's necessary in order to get a better handle on the flows and knowing who owns what and what we have left in the Snake River Basin. I certainly support the establishment of an effective water marketing system where a willing seller could sell to a buyer a water right, and probably the hydrologic and economic studies in the Snake Basin are worthwhile too, even though they may be slightly expensive. As far as your alteration of policy 32 of the water plan, I support the one that would rescind the endorsement of the target of 850,000 acres of new irrigated land in the Snake by the year 2020. I think, as you recall, conservation groups have been complaining about that ever since it was proposed in 1976. It's not realistic, and we're glad to see you're talking about doing away with that. However, the problems I have are basically two major points. One is the minimum Murphy flaw, and the other is the public interest criteria. And I don't know if you're going to be making recommendations on the latter or not to the legislature. I'll assume you are, since they were alluded to here in one of the policies as the new criteria, I assume, the public interest criteria on allocation. These criteria, again, are biased, the proposed criteria, are biased very much in favor of new irrigation development and hydropower development. There's no mention whatsoever of fish, wildlife, and recreational values. And I think, frankly, the governor and the attorney general of Idaho Power sold us all down the river there on fish and wildlife values. I would recommend there a couple of changes. One would be to add a criterion on maintaining fisheries habitat, both anadromous, below Swan Falls, of course, and resident fishery habitat and adequate needs there. And I would also do away with the criterion calling for staged development of new irrigated land, 20,000 acres per year, 80,000 for four. I think that's part of the old fix we had on the need or perceived need to develop more irrigated land, which is anything but true. The minimum flow proposed is not a compromise. The legal existing minimum flow, the legal minimum flow at Murphy, of course, is 3,300 second feet. The actual low flow, as was indicated, gets down to about 4,500 second feet. That's what the fish have to live with, and that's already below, well below an optimum for fish and wildlife needs below Murphy. Taking the midpoint and giving 600 CFS to future development, most of which would go for probably new irrigation development, but whatever, is proposing not to compromise, but to take away a significant fraction of the flow, the actual low flow there now, and this would be quite detrimental to fisheries, not to mention Idaho Power customers. So I would propose that you set that figure at 4,500, namely make the actual flow the legal minimum flow, 4,500 CFS. The water that's in the river should stay there. New irrigation development or new developments ought to come from water rights that are exchanged to the water marketing system or by conservation. Support several of the provisions you're talking about tonight in Policy 32, of course. Provision for hydropower, 32D, and 32E for navigation, and 32B for DCMI. And, of course, I do support 32H, I believe it is, to provide you some flexibility to try to meet minimum flows by owning for the state of Idaho some of the water that's hasn't been allocated yet in some of the reservoirs. I think that's very worthwhile. In fact, I have a problem with policy 32C. No, I'm sorry, 32A, water held in trust by the state. It seems to me that by proposing to hold water in trust for future development, This is upside down. You ought to be holding the water in trust for public values, for in-stream flow needs, rather than promoting more development, which is going to be very unwise. I wanted to comment also on the subsidy, which is now offered to new irrigation development, especially the large-scale ones. It's been documented that it costs something over $400 an acre per year to open new irrigated land in the Lower Snake Basin. For electrical energy, this is primarily replacement costs as well as the high lift pumping costs. And the thing that is the kicker in this is that the developer of the new land doesn't pay much of this. The Idaho Power customers, of course, would. So it places an unnatural type of motivation on that kind of development, which is not only environmentally damaging by taking more water out of the river, but also very expensive and wasteful, detrimental to existing farmers by producing a glut on the market, and expensive to the Idaho Power customers. So I would hope you'd just recommend 4,500 CFS as the legal minimum. Thank you.
Okay, Jerry? JD? Dave? Jim? Jerry, you had indicated that you think the language should be expanded, maybe some for fish, wildlife, and recreation. Might we ask you to take, in your leisure time, and get it to us by February 22nd?
Sure.
Take 32G and expand it for us a little bit.
I don't think that mentions the criteria proposed at all, does it? That's why I wasn't sure you were going to listen to comments about it tonight, and well, I hadn't prepared very well on that, but apparently you are going to be making comments on the proposed public
on all
criteria.
Of the proposal. Anything having to do with policy 32?
Oh, no, it isn't G, it's A, isn't it? Is that the...
No, it should be policy 32G, fish, wildlife, and recreation.
Well, that's as distinct from the public interest criteria talked about under 32A, isn't it?
Talking about the legislation, Bill 3C, that's mentioned in policy 32A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'll be happy to send you something.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Yes, sir.
Claude Storrs my name. I'm a member of the Committee of Nine. I also farm in the area, and I run a very large cattle operation in the area. I'm concerned mainly about the water marketing plan. You mentioned a while ago that the state could buy rye water and use it to fill this. Well, right now, my understanding is that rye water costs about $5 an acre foot. And not only $5 an acre foot, but the time it gets to the river through that fancy channel they've built, it loses 50% of that. So I don't see any way the state can acquire rye water at $10 an acre foot to use for this program. And that's what it'll cost time it gets to the river. Second, this marketing plan of water, you talk about for the public use, a long-term marketing program. You take right now through the water bank, water is $2.50 an acre foot, which is about the limit that agriculture can afford to pay. Well, you open this up to a long-term marketing, and I can see what in the future what Idaho Power can afford to pay for that water. Myself, I own 950 inches of water in two different canals. Just suppose that I sell that water to Idaho Power, put that ground in crested wheat for a long term. Now, 1 year, I can't do this, but if I put that ground in the long term in crested wheat, can you imagine what's going to happen to District 93's tax base, Bonneville County's tax base, when that water goes into a long-term period? You think about that. On 1 year, I can't do that. Right now, we have an effective water marketing plan through the Committee of Nine and through the Water Bank, 1 year at a time. There's no way that Idaho Power or anybody else can buy that water off them farms, and I can put them farms in crested wheat for 1 year. You think about this long term and what it could do to Bonneville County's tax base. If this water should be transferred down the river, a lot of these farms, I pay several thousand dollars in taxes. I'm not so sure I wouldn't sell that water for $1 million, which it appears it's worth, and put them farms in crested wheat if this long-term marketing plan goes into effect. Before you put this long-term marketing into effect, you better consider what this will do to the tax base of many counties around Idaho. School districts, for one thing. I pay several thousand dollar school taxes. Before you put this long-term marketing program into effect, I suggest you think long and hard at this. Thank you.
Any questions? Anyone else who would like to testify?
How many members are on the committee?
Okay, we will close testimony, and we will stand ready to answer some of your questions, if we might. Mr. Sherman, could you come forward, please? I have a question. If you'd come forward to the mic, and maybe get Mr. Sherman over here a little closer to this one. We'll get this one.
Mr. Darrington.
I believe I can be heard from here, but I'll go to the mic if I need to.
Are you picking it up?
Yeah, I'm picking you up.
My question is, it seems to me we're bringing together here three major entities. And one is the water users, the agricultural people, commercial use, and then especially on the Salmon River drainage, the Middle Park drainage, some of the streams where agriculture and commercial use has been very restricted. I understand that the federal government has got to be a part and parcel of the adjudication process. What do you feel the impact of that is going to be?
You can do an adjudication without involving the federal government. Certainly most of the ones done in the state to date, like all of them, to my knowledge, have been that way. The concern here is that when you're talking about such a large portion of the state where you've got a major Indian reservation, those federal reserved rights become important if you're going to try and manage the river down to some magic number like 3,900 CFS in the summertime. The reason for starting way down at Lewiston, so you're talking about the Salmon and Clearwater, where there are basically no agricultural developments, is to be sure we can force the federal government to come into the state court, participate in our adjudications process. There's a federal law which says if a state is doing a system-wide adjudication, the federal government will participate. Hopefully, a compromise will be reached so that the adjudication starts at Swan Falls Dam, or Murphy Gauge, more properly. But because the amount of water that may be reserved and unquantified for the Indian Reservation, for the National Parks, for the Historic Monument out here, the Forest Service areas, if you're going to try and manage the thing down to some magic number, you need to know those. And that is the reason for the adjudication, the reason for trying to bring the federal government in.
Mr. Gregg?
Yes,
Mr. Gregg. Mr. Chairman, I think one of the questions was asked also. This agreement is not to stop new storage. It's just to find out what we have in the storage. Is this not correct?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Kramer. The adjudication is to find out how much water we use, where, and when. Because if we got to worry about an exact flow in the river, we have to start worrying about consumptive uses and not amounts of water diverted. The agreement in the proposed revision to the state water plan does specify that before any new storage can be constructed, the director of the Department of Water Resources has to make a determination that maximum use of existing storage is being made.
Okay, but what has to be done there if we talk about two people we're really concerned about that we've stopped the new storage? If we find out that we need new storage or that the water in the dams is used, then we can, there's no problem.
The director can find, yes, that we're doing the best we can under existing rules and regulations and under existing laws. The intent is for the water board to publicly or privately have those rules and regulations examined. Ask if there can be changes to make the water marketing system more efficient. If the board does that, and we can't change the federal law that says you can't lease for more than 1 year at a time, or you can't sell your water for a profit, then the director has no option except to find, in my opinion, once there is no unallocated water, the maximum use is being made under existing criteria.
Clint?
I think you find that after this adjudication is made, I'm kind of in favor of the adjudication itself. I think maybe we need that. But But I think that you'll find that after this adjudication is done, the water findings are done, by the time the Indians take out their block of water they're going to take, everybody gets their block of water, I think that the government will come to the fact that we do need teeth on dam, because I don't think that water's going to be there.
Mr. Lee.
The point that I have raised, it says it is the policy of Idaho that maximum use must be made of existing storage facilities in the basin before new ones are made. Why have it there at all? Why have it there at all? The only thing this does is assure the Idaho Power Company that you're going to get the heavy spring flows that go through. And instead of running them right straight on down in the Snake River, we just as well put them in a dam and spread them over the year so that they can be utilized in some manner. Perhaps it might be advisable in power use, but spread it over the year so that they can be used. But we're putting a restriction according to this language that can be used in court on building or putting in new dams. And why have it there at all? And there are lots of places up above Berkeley that are suitable, and yet we say that this plan pertains principally, or I've heard solely, below Murphy Dam, and that's not true.
Mr. Sherman.
I didn't hear any question, Mr. Sherman, but I will say Mr. Lee is correct. The idea that maximum use of existing facilities be made is for the whole system above Murphy. The restriction calling for mitigation for wintertime diversions applies only below Miller Dam.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hobbs.
Respond to the man's question, why is it there at all, or why is it in the proposed draft of the state water plan? I think the answer is that the three negotiators, or the three parties to the agreement, this is one of the things they asked for. In the October 25th agreement, in the framework, they said that this is part of the agreement. So the draft state water plan, since it was drafted to reflect what would be needed in the state water plan, to reflect that agreement, that's the reason it's in the state water plan.
Mr. Lee.
I'm saying is that you don't have to agree with it, and we don't have to agree with it, and we ought to throw it out.
Mr. Darrington.
How comfortable is the committee? There are lots of things that come up here in a short period of time. We started back in the fall, and we're pushing this thing right along, which I agree with. But I wonder, I've always been concerned that Idaho Power had their homework done a little better than the rest of us did when the game started. And I wonder now if the time window is being compressed so that when we get through here and we get so these meetings don't cost us money, if there's going to be a tremendous amount of trying to defend the position from environmentalists and from Idaho Power.
By committee, do you mean the Water Resource Board?
Yes, Water Resource Board.
I don't think the Water Resource Board is comfortable at all. We have 10 more meetings after tonight to go to the public with before we can form any kind of an opinion.
Are you prepared to lengthen? Now, as I understood in the fall, we had a time deadline on this. If we failed to meet that time deadline, then everything was off.
Yes, if you'd all turn to page 7, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that when we first got started. On the right-hand side, it says action must be taken by May 15, 1985 to validate agreement. Number one, the state water plan is amended. Well, that's what we're attempting to do now with the public hearings that we're doing. And your input tonight will be part of what the board's final decision will be. Number two, the legislative package is passed. And they've indicated pretty much that the package, which is in your paper here from page 4 to 7, must be passed pretty much intact as it reads. Number three, appropriate action by the PUC or legislature is called for and the agreement is taken. Four, an appropriate order by Federal Energy Regulatory Commission acceptable to the parties to the agreement is issued. Five, the Idaho PUC dismisses the 1977 petition by the Idaho ratepayers. 6 have required the Oregon PUC approves the package. And 7, enactment by the legislature of subordination language as set forth in Exhibit 7A and 7B of the agreement. So all of these things have to fall in place by May 15th, 1985. We have with us tonight Rich Hahn from Idaho Power Company. And if you have questions of a power company representative, I'm sure Rich would be able to be glad to answer them, wouldn't you, Rich? Okay. If our understanding is that if this isn't taken care of by May 15, then the three parties will go back into negotiations.
Or decide that negotiations are not necessary and go back to court.
Or decide that negotiations have ceased.
What's the feeling of you gentlemen at this point in time? Comfortable with 15?
I don't think we can really make that determination until we've had all of our public hearings, because we want to hear what the people of Idaho, we're representing you, so we want to know what you have to say. Which brings me to the point that tomorrow evening we'll be in Pocatello, following evening Burley, and the evening after that Twin Falls, if you wish to attend those meetings. Next week on Tuesday we'll be in Boise, and Wednesday in Lewiston. And we'd be glad to have all of you come with us.
Mm-hmm.
Written testimony will be accepted until February 22nd. Yes.
Well, do you get the final say on the Murphy minimum floor, or does the legislature have that say?
If you will, take a peek on page number 1, it talks about SJR 117. Which was a constitutional amendment. It used to be that you, the people of the state of Idaho, through your Water Resource Board, had the final say on what happens. The voters of the state of Idaho decided in November that's not the way it was going to be any longer, so the legislature will have the final say no matter what we come up with. I believe they refer to it as overview.
How about the public interest criteria? Are you going to be making recommendations on those also to the legislature?
We will be making some recommendations on that, yes. Hopefully we'll be picking up some ideas as we go through our 12 meetings. That's right. Mr. Kramer has very aptly pointed out that the legislature will also make that decision.
Well, that's part of that's a piece of legislation.
Yeah,
so.
That was my understanding. I didn't know if you'd be making recommendations at all.
You will notice if you study the policy 32 that all through it refers back to sections of the Idaho Code, and those sections of the Idaho Code are the proposed changes to the Idaho Code and or additions to the Idaho Code. Any other questions, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.